The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
Hour 3, Backbone Radio. Here it is, May 3rd, 2020. And we sit here, stand here on the verge of Spygate blowing sky high. General Flynn accused of all kinds of horrific treasonous crimes by the Obama intelligence community. Is about to be exonerated, fully exonerated. I am hoping to see that ASAP, and I'm kind of wondering what exactly Judge Sullivan is going to do. And I'm enjoying this Russian disinformation canard trotted out by the deep state perpetrators to say, we had bad info. I guess the Russians fooled us, too. Oh, we'll talk to Svetlana Lokova about that as well as this program goes on. And Flynn exoneration, I think we're awfully close with the new information that has come out, thanks to U.S. Attorney Jeff Jensen, as appointed by A.G. Barr, to dig into all the documents of the Flynn case. And lo and behold, he finds a bunch of stuff that the corrupt DOJ, Brennan Van Grack, was not handing over as they should have, and that revealed the FBI was setting up Flynn all the way along. The whole intention in their even interviewing Flynn in January 2017 was to try to catch him in a lie, to try to trap him in some way or another. They could get him fired. That's documented in Bill Priestap's handwriting right there in the documents just released. It's terribly exciting. And I'd like to get Svetlana Lokova, who we're going to continue to talk with, to get her comments on the overall picture of Spygate as well and where it is going. But, the Democrats have always been big on believing all women. You must believe all women. Remember the Brett Kavanaugh hearings and all that? But Svetlana Lokova, that apparently doesn't apply, because Svetlana Lokova has denied all of this, all these lascivious accusations against her, and she has done so with full honor and truthfulness. She's been fighting for years on this, but yet the mainstream media has not wanted to hear a word that she has had to say. But now she is on the cusp of vindication. Vindication for Svetlana Lokova as the information keeps dribbing out and drabbing out. And it is so good to see. But welcome back, Svetlana Lokova. And I don't know if anything I just was mentioning you wanted to take off on, but as far as why General Flynn was a target, and you just happened to be there at a 2014 dinner, and you got caught up in this whole thing in Cambridge University. But General Flynn was an opponent of the Barack Obama-Iran deal when Flynn was working in the Obama administration. And Flynn, I submit, probably knew a lot about the illicit spying that went on in the Obama administration going back to 2012, using FARA violations as an excuse to spy on people, unmask people unlawfully in the NSA database. They had to get rid of Flynn to keep this Russian hoax thing going. I mean, do you think that's part of why General Flynn was such a target, Svetlana Lokova?
Well, hello again. Yes, I think General Flynn was a target for a huge variety of reasons. And I think that his enemies ranged from, you know, the former administration into Brennan CIA, into Comey's FBI, into, of course, Hillary Clinton herself. And I think he just had so many enemies, and I don't think it was one thing or another. I think it was a combination. But where the things come to fruition for the coup plotters is the dinner that, you know, you and I were discussing takes place in 2014. Nothing inappropriate happens at the dinner at all. As we already discussed, Stephen Harper wasn't even there. The dinner was considered a huge success, and in fact, there was no cab ride. There was no going with General Flynn into the night, and some of the phrases, which are redacted, but I, from what the journalist told me, Stephen Harper said that he found me suspicious because I'm somehow connected with the Russian government. And on the face of it, it sounds, and it is, an absolutely absurd and a ridiculous story, and which couldn't and wouldn't have believed. And therefore, nothing happens in 2014. And the report doesn't even get made in 2014. And in fact, in 2015, Stephen Halper and Richard Dearlove and Christopher Andrew form a Cambridge Security Initiative, a consultancy, and they invite me, among other graduate research students, to join it. So clearly they're not concerned that I'm a Russian spy, because this consultancy, this yes. academic consultancy, consults governments as well as, organizations. Then, to make matters even more how ridiculous allegations are. So Flynn's successor under the Obama administration, General Stewart, he comes to Cambridge in 2015. So that's a year after Flynn dinner. And they invite me. So it's the same thing, which is he's a guest of honor. Yes. They invite me to that. I have the email invitation. So clearly nobody thought I'm a Russian spy seducing US generals. And they invite me then to speak at a Department of Defense conference, where they introduced me to a number of current and former intelligence community people. So nothing happened in 2014 and 15, right? And what changes? Well, what changes is General Flynn in 2016 joins political...
Trump's campaign.
Yeah. Life. So he starts, he gets fired by the Obama administration in 2014 for the things that you've outlined and numerous other things. Then he becomes a private individual. And then in 2016, he comes back to public life because he says that he believes that the country is in danger and that Hillary Clinton needs to be stopped and that he will help anyone to defeat Hillary Clinton. And at that point in 2015, he starts meeting with various Republicans to run against Hillary Clinton. And summer and winter 2015 is when it becomes apparent that Donald Trump is going to be the most well-suited candidate for General Flynn, because he's passionate about fighting against corruption, draining famous, of course, the swamp. And obviously, the great thing about Donald Trump is he understood about the forgotten men and women who are just fed up with the corruption.
Yes.
And we've been, completely disregarded whilst they're paying their taxes, but how the elites completely abandon them, right? And he wants to change it. And he's not owned by anyone,
Totally.
Because up until that point, it was the succession planning, right? It didn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. It was all just part of the same swamp where they would just swap people. But it was all about, having the candidate that everyone can agree with the status quo, and the whole succession continues. And Donald Trump was not such a contact. He was somebody who was famously called, together with General Flynn, as a patriotic disruptor. So nobody owned Donald Trump. He was his own man with his own money, no skeletons in his closet in terms of, corruption. He was just a businessman. And General Flynn was, of course, somebody who had amazing reputation in the army, great foreign policy experience at the helm of the DIA. And so the two of them together represented a real, real threat to the establishment. And, of course, they had to be stopped because of that. So Halper gets activated in 2016 by the security services, and we know that because of the way in which he's been paid by the Office of Net Assessment.
Yes.
And the reports on me seducing General Flynn get submitted in summer 2016. So remember, 2014, nothing happened. 2015, nothing happened. Why is it 2016? Because it's the election year, right? So they only remember that amazing story about Halper. Only remembers that amazing story where allegedly surprised everyone. And remember, the dinner was attended by around 14 people, or 12 to 16 people. I surprised all of them, including DIA liaison of General Flynn, by jumping into a cab and going away into the night with him. Well, that didn't get brought up, because if you look at the document, it says that, recently released document in the Flynn case, it says that actually the FBI checked all the databases, which and checked with other agencies, including DIA. Nobody from DIA submitted any report. So the only report we have comes from Stephen Halper, and it comes in 2016, because General Flynn is helping Donald Trump to defeat Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
And
Halper,
yeah,
and Halper, as we have said, wasn't even at this dinner. And so technically he has lied to the FBI by claiming he witnessed this stuff happen at this dinner. You've got photos of this dinner, and there's no Halper in any of the photos. And
there's no Halper. Nobody remembers him because he wasn't there. And, you know, in the report, in the FBI report, it says that Halper, Confidential Human Source, could not remember the date, which you'd think when you're accusing
yes.
National Security Advisor of being recruited by Russians. You think you might remember the
You might have
FBI
that clear.
To Google it.
Yeah, if you're going to accuse somebody of being Benedict Arnold level of traitor to the United States of America, you might as well have your details correct there, Halper, but apparently not. But life is getting real dicey for Halper these days, in my opinion. He's this unsealed information is what's going to bring us over the edge here. Hang on, Svetlana Lokova. Be right back.
News Talk 710 KNUS. News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Par-dessus les temps, sous danger. All right, welcome back. Here we are. We have one more segment here with Svetlana Lokova to kind of start summarizing. I know we've thrown out a lot of information, and it's a lot of details. Spygate is fairly complex, but I think Svetlana does such a good job of like condensing it down and getting the key details out so we can understand what's happening and where we're going. And one of the key points is that the FBI, the original interviewers of Flynn, did not think that Flynn had lied. That means Strzok and Pienka. But then later on, Strzok decides, hey, now let's keep this case open. Let me work editing those 302s. Let's find a way to engineer something. Let's find a way to trap him and get him to lie so we can get him fired. So the question I might ask for Svetlana Lokova is, Judge Sullivan has a huge new trove of information to work with now, all of a sudden, as does everybody. What do you think Judge Sullivan is going to do next? Will he exonerate General Flynn, or do you think that he's going to be very stuck and wedded to seeing Flynn go to jail?
Well, we frankly don't know, because what's been very strange is we've been getting this, you know, amazing documentary releases. We've got two batches so far, and we were told that there are more. So Jensen, DOJ, found more, and they passed it to court. And the judge is now refusing to release any more documents until all documents are somehow, I don't know, in one place or something like that. But of course, we don't know when that is going to be. So that's highly unsatisfactory, because we surely haven't waited, both General Flynn and myself and the American public. We all want to see those documents now, because
yes.
They've been hidden from us for so long. So we don't know what's in those documents, but from what we've seen so far, it's absolutely outrageous. And so we basically just don't know what the judge is going to do. And, of course, the big hope is going to be that hopefully the Department of Justice itself will decide that clearly if they cannot prosecute the case, which has been clearly, you know, General Flynn was set up. So that's the hope. But in the meantime, we just have to wait and see for the release of the rest of the documents. But to summarize the stunning document that I was describing earlier, just for your listeners, it's very, very difficult to comprehend for all of us, myself included, that the whole investigation, so remember, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation started on 31st of July, but they don't open on Flynn.
16.
They just open on the whole...
Yeah, 2016.
2016, right. But they don't open on General Flynn. Right, they open an umbrella investigation. Then they open on Papadopoulos. Then they open on Carter Page and Manafort. But But they opened on General Flynn on 16th of August 2016. So that's 16 days after the whole investigation started. What was it that happened in mid-August that makes the FBI open the whole counterintelligence investigation on General Flynn? Well, Halper meets on 11th and 12th of August with Crossfire Hurricane people and brings up General Flynn. So he tells them this lie about witnessing me taking General Flynn in a cab somewhere and that I'm this suspicious Russian with Russian government ties, all complete lies. He, and this is the lies that he decided to tell FBI in 2016 about a dinner that took place in 2014 he was at. And then that forms the basis of the whole investigation into General Flynn. They have nothing else.
That's it.
And then in January 2017, so they look into him for 7 months. They're trying to close the investigation because they realize that there's nothing. But then they reopen on him again using the same manufactured and recycled lies. Because by that stage, and there was a very good article by highly respected Andy McCarthy, and there was also research by some other great, you know, people on Twitter and otherwise, that they had to in January suddenly recycle this false information that Halper provided, because General Flynn was going to find out about FISA surveillance warrants on the Trump campaign. As National Security Advisor, they would have had to give those documents to him. And at the same time, he would have discovered the truth about Steele dossier being totally manufactured. So they're in a rush to get rid of Flynn very, very, very quickly in January, literally within weeks, because otherwise he was going to find out about the whole operation. And remember that, of course, they have no sources. There was no Russia collusion. And it was always Stefan Halper acting on behalf of individuals yet unnamed, who was manufacturing the Russia collusion story. So he was the one who entrapped Carter Page, Trump advisor. He was the one who entrapped Trump advisor George Papadopoulos. And he's the one who was the source for Steele dossier.
Yep.
And so Flynn was going to uncover all of that. And that would be the game. Would have been the game over for coup plotters in January 2017.
And so they had to get rid of him,
right? And that's how you see all this notes where they're in such a rush to find another excuse to get rid of him. And so they did. They succeeded to. And now, just by complete, you know, chance, providence, luck, whatever you want to call it, we now have the documents which look like will be able to exonerate Michael Flynn. And also vindicate myself and other victims of Spygate.
Exactly. Vindication for Svetlana Lakota. It's amazing that 3+ years of the American national global discourse even has been on the lies from Halper, the lies of the Steele dossier. They had nothing. All the setup action they pulled, that's why it's the biggest scandal in American political history. It's getting ready to blow. And they're going to end up saying it was Russian disinformation that we fell for. Oh, the Russians fooled us again. That's what Brennan Comey Clapper are preparing to say. We've only got like 60 seconds on that. But do you buy that argument? Oh, the Russians fooled us again on this stuff. They're going to have a little fallback plan there. What do you think on that one?
Well, of course not. It was disinformation by Halper and by Steele, and by their co-conspirators. And the FBI, Crossfire Hurricane team, openly took their disinformation because that's what they wanted. They were all one team. They wanted Hillary Clinton to win because they were hoping that she will give them favors back. And they would do anything to destroy Donald Trump and his team and put Hillary Clinton into power. And that was the purpose of the FBI investigation. And then later, as after the election, they started preparing this get-out-of-jail-free card, which is we were duped by Russians. But unfortunately, this is all too late because we now know from the stunning document released last week that there wasn't Russian disinformation. It was American-owned security services and dirty trickster Stefan Halper, which at the time, unfortunately, set up the Trump campaign.
Oh, exactly. So well summarized, Svetlana Lakova, if I may say. And, yeah, thanks for staying up. I know you're a little bit, a couple hours later than us. You've got your young daughter there still awake and and wanting the full attention of mommy there, a full undivided attention. But you've got your Stefan Halper book coming out in July or August called The Spider. We'll be talking about that over the next few months and promoting that around here. But maybe just say from all of us here in Colorado and Backbone Radio Country, good luck to you in these next steps ahead. Salute you for your courage, for sticking with it all this time when the lawsuits you've been filing and are still working on and still have active. So from Colorado, Svetlana, all the best from us to you. Hang in there and a big salute.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Oh, but if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, you would lose them. I'd know how to use them. Give them all to me.
All right, it's Backbone Radio, and yeah, we just covered a lot of miles there with Svetlana Lokova, and I know for some that will be some weedy stuff, but if you review that 90 minutes in the podcast, you will have an outstanding summary of where we've been, where we are now. That really did cover it, and I'm looking forward to seeing this thing be resolved. And just remember, when you're dealing in politics, people can just make stuff up. They can just make up stuff out of whole cloth, which is what the Obama Six Ways from Sunday crowd did. They just made up the Steele dossier. They made up the accusations against Flynn. And it takes a lot of years to catch up with the lies. But we're about there, ladies and gentlemen. Very excited about that. Nice to see President Trump's approval rating all-time high in the Gallup poll. His approvals are even higher than his disapprovals. That's rare in the Gallup poll for Donald Trump. He's at 49% approval, 47% disapproval, and 96% approval in the Republican Party, which is like an all-time record ever in history that just keeps on staying right up there in spite of all of this stuff. The American people are not happy with China. Over 70% of Americans want trade restrictions with China now and think very poorly of China's behavior throughout all of this business, and I'm spoiling for that fight. I'm spoiling to make China pay, and maybe our debt that they hold, the Chinese hold, maybe that just gets to go away right now. And I've done many shows on that of late. But right here in Colorado, there's quite a controversy, I guess, over Governor Polis. Is he really opening up the state, or is he really not? And people are kind of hot about this. And I've given Polis a bit of credit for inching us open a little bit more than many states have done. And a lot of listeners are not happy, but they think, no. And I'm not a fan of Polis at all. But he is somebody who has at least nudged forward a little bit as a Democrat, progressive, far left winger. And but I'm taking heat for this. So what is Father Hugh is on to give me some grief, maybe, and probably if I deserve it. But Father Hugh, welcome aboard. And what thoughts are you having tonight?
Thank you. First thing, to Karen, go girl.
Yes.
And the second piece, Karen, if you can scare up a yellow star for me, I'll put it on when these mothers come for me. And I don't know if people know the story. When the Nazis took over, they made Jews wear a yellow star. And the great story from history is they took over Denmark, of course, and King Haakon immediately put on a star.
Mm-hmm.
He was not Jewish, and it was a wonderful, he was an exemplar. Anyway, what really gets me and made me call, Karen has, as usual, preempted everything I had to say, but there was one thing. You know, Polis gave this speech, you know, or the rules or whatever the hell.
Well, yeah.
And one of the rules was, you know, you got to keep an eye on your neighbor and you got to go out and tattletale.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know what? I didn't think I was living in East Germany under the Stasi. where everybody was ratting each other out. And more to the point, you know, as everybody knows, Governor Polis is gay, and there was a time in this country not so long ago where gays in quantity were in the closet, and the worst sin that could be asserted against anybody, not just from the gay community, was that they outed someone. And that's what Polis is prescribing. And I thought, you have a very short memory, my friend.
Well, that's a age-old totalitarian tactic, you know, and go back to the Soviet Union, anywhere behind the Iron Curtain, anywhere fascism, you're supposed to snitch on your neighbors, rat them out. Nobody can trust anybody. You got to isolate people down to their own individual selves. Can't even trust your parents, your kids, your family members, that kind of thing.
Oh, in Germany, it was said, and you're going to laugh, in my family, I have a wonderful aunt, and she had three kids, and one of the kids was like a real pinhead, and she would turn on her mother at a time. And
well,
so
sure.
We called Christine the family Nazi, whatever. Anyway.
But Father Hugh, do you think, I mean, we needed to get some information. Is this virus Armageddon or not? We have now learned that it is not. The curves have flattened. The models have imploded to the tune of 98, 99+% on what we were told to expect here. Do you think it's a winning strategy for Democrats to want to keep people locked up in prison? I mean, do you think that the American people are just going to sit there and like willfully take that and just go along with that? Say, well, okay, the governor says stay inside. I'm going to do that.
I'm beginning to wonder if the American people will take it. That's a problem.
Because I don't think they will.
Well, I mean, God love you.
You think they will?
The progressives have done their jobs in the schools. And there was one encouraging thing out in California at Huntington Beach. I understand that there were tons of millennials. And for the first time, they began to experience what the statists could do to them, shut down their beloved beach. And that registered when nothing else did. And whatever. Now, let me finish on this note and maybe encourage them. So I couldn't find, you know, I couldn't find a mask. And, you know, hey, why provoke? I mean, fine, screw them. But when it becomes mandatory, then we'll put up the barrier. But so I go to the bank, and the bank, basically, the guard gives me a mask. And I have the mask and whatever. So I thought, then Polis comes out with his thing, and it enrages me. And then the mayor with the mandatory. And so I think, oh, you know, I need to turn this thing around. So I bought myself a red Sharpie pen. And on the mask is white fabric on the outside.
Yeah.
And I just wrote, Polis sucks.
You wrote that on your mask.
It's on my mask, very neatly and whatever. And, you know, and of course it has the double entendre for him. And it just, you know, we got to do something.
So
it's pitchfork. And
what do you find most outrageous about what Governor Polis is doing? If you could dial it down, is there a certain thing or two that really stick in your fatherly craw?
Lack of humanity.
But is it the wearing the mask? So you must wear a mask order. Is that the,
you know, that's, I guess we'd say, the straw that broke the camel's back. But not really. I mean, I listened to the stupidity of Cuomo and the fact that he murdered the people in the nursing home.
Oh, Cuomo's got blood on his hands. He forced nursing homes to accept COVID-positive patients.
No, these people, A, they mean business. It's war. And we need to act accordingly. And by the way, it just occurred to me, isn't the name of this show Backbone Radio?
Well, absolutement. Father Hugh.
Anyway, we'll do it. And Karen, love you.
But I just, Father, do you really think that these politicians can keep America locked down as the data disintegrates before our very eyes? I just don't somehow see that as possible.
No.
I mean, people, it's so unnatural to stay at home. And even a couple of weeks ago, I was saying, you know, hey, people are kind of over this. People are done with this.
Yeah,
any politician who says, no, I want to keep you locked up, they're doing it at their own political peril. But I seem to be a minority view here. But you don't see it that way?
What are you going to do when you have to have food for your kids It's the strategy.
No, you can't starve the population. If we're going to have supply chain food shortages, you know, if the feedlots can't produce and Tyson is closing its chicken and pork factories, and you can't starve the obviously, the politicians who want to shut down this economy are the ones that are trying to starve the masses, and they're not going to have it.
Listen, you've already heard in some locations, I heard about something where it's Jay Inslee in Washington who says they're going to have a group of volunteers called tracers, and the tracers will come to you just to check up on you. Are you out of your mind? I mean, no.
Now, that cannot be a popular concept. It just cannot be.
I don't know, but do you
think that, you know, some politician can go get elected by saying that, hey, you know, we're going to follow and monitor your cell phone, you know, everywhere we're going to have your neighbors snitch on you?
My favorite mantra. Perhaps in a lot of places, it was in revolutionary Boston, God love them, it would work. But, you know, with the Republicans the way they are, they stand there, and I think to myself, I'm waiting for Cory Gardner to step up and say something in defense of our civil liberties. Not unreasonable, but we know the Constitution isn't a suicide document. But, you know, step up, guy.
Yeah, well, that's right. The Constitution is not a suicide pact. Who was it that said that?
I was wrong.
I'm sure you know that, right?
It was Justice Jackson.
Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, but that's fine. But, you know, we've gotten pushed around, and the real thing that bothers me is that after 20 or 30 years of dumbing down our schools, our kids don't know any better. And
and school is shut down, but I think the Democrats, what they're angling for is the all-male ballot in November 2020. They need to steal this election, or it's really curtains for them.
Whatever.
They're losing faith in Biden, and they would love to see this economy implode so they can say, oh, look, Trump wrecked the economy. That's kind
of
their plan.
Well, of course,
but it's going to backfire. Trump's approvals are only going up with all of this. And as the more we see the day, the American people look at this and say, you know, hey, we don't need to be in prison anymore. We've done our thing, and now we're on to the next thing, and we're getting out. That's how I see it anyway. But Father Hugh, as ever, brilliant, brilliant. And we'll be right back after this.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com.
Now, back to Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710
yes,
KNUS.
I'm going to walk, that milky white way. Oh, Lord, some of these days.
Sacred song from the King, Milky White Way.
Well, I'm going to walk that milky white way. Some of these days, well, I'm going to walk up and take my stand. Join that Christian band. I'm gonna walk on that milky white way. Oh Lord, some of these days.
Thank you, Elvis Presley. One of my all-time favorite sacred songs, this one. There was a Fox News article just the other day that was talking to one of the curators of the Elvis Graceland mansion. She was describing when she first found Elvis's actual own personal Bible, the main Bible he used. She kind of looked into it and saw that it was the Psalms. The Psalms was the particular area that Elvis read the most on his own in his own Bible, and he even wrote a bunch of his own personal notes on the side of different Psalms. And he was a devout man, was Elvis Presley, and they always said that he would have gone on to just be a church singer if he wouldn't have just, you know, gotten so darn famous and become the global international pop star that he was and still is, believe it or not, Elvis Presley. Anyway, the coronavirus thing, we're just over it. We are over it. The lockup, the lockdown, it's unsustainable and it's gotta be over. And I think that's kind of the sense here because the curves have flattened and the models have exploded. And, you know, just reading all this stuff, there's no documented case of a transmission from a child to an adult. The Royal College of Pediatrics has found this. I mean, that's big news, right? How come we don't hear more about that? And reading this big article in the Wall Street Journal about should you wear a mask when exercising outdoors? And they have this big, long article about whether or not it helps you to wear a mask or not outside. And they end up coming to the conclusion, well, no. No. I mean, that is what there is no compelling reason for people who are exercising outside and maintaining social distancing to wear a mask, says Henry Chambers, a professor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the University of California, San Francisco. So these things are falling by the wayside, and the studies on hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin are coming in, and you'll see all these positive, rigorous studies that are saying that, hey, this is helping a lot of people. But the media, again, wants to somehow shoot those down. They want you to be hopeless, and they want you to be locked up. And it just seems to me that that is a losing proposition for the totalitarians that are going to want to try to push us to stay in prison and keep this economy locked down and have businesses go under and hospitals go under because they can't do elective services anymore. And so I think it's time to start banging the gong for that. But that said, I have given Polis a bit of credit for opening Colorado up earlier than some other progressive leftist governors. But is he really doing it? And I guess I need to look in more detail to see what the real situation is there. All right. Now, let's get to the phone lines here. And I believe we have Jack on the line. And Jack, I'm not sure if you're up in Wyoming or where you are, but welcome aboard. And what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just commented. I mean, I've listened to you guys for years, and I always get a big kick out of Hugh. But I can't believe he just said he's waiting for Cory Gardner to speak up and speak with respect to our rights that are being trampled on. I mean, he is Senator Absentia, and he has always been not there. I can't believe that Hugh said that. I mean, the man's smarter than that. That's my comment.
You don't get your hopes up for Cory Gardner. And I'll tell you where I am. you don't expect an America First real passionate kind of advocacy from Cory Gardner. But, you know, until I see otherwise, I'm persuaded that we want Cory Gardner to be reelected. And we do sometimes have to work a little bit to get passionate about that. You know, we'd like to see more out of him. But until, you know, if he comes out and starts being critical of President Trump, as he has been in years past, then the deal's off. And I'm out the door, and I start getting a little bit vociferous about that. But, you know, they can't all be the A-plus people, and I guess that's where I come down. And, you know, Donald Trump trying hard to help Cory Gardner get reelected, you know what I mean? And what we went through with that whole impeachment saga, if it would have been a Democrat-run Senate, then we would have had our president impeached for a hoax. And at least Cory Gardner was on the right side of things there. What do you think of that, Jack?
Mm. Yeah, it's the old broken watch.
Yeah, it's not nothing. it's not
he's
nothing.
Absentia means absent. He's absent. The man is basically absent on anything that's important to us on the right. I mean, the guy is just absent.
Well, I think it's fair for us to say that we would like more, and we deserve more. Yeah.
Yeah. All righty, man.
All right, Jack. Well, thank you, sir. All the best to you.
Okay.
And one thing I always get a kick out of, you know, watching is that the mainstream media likes to complain. You know, all they do is, you know, they make up stuff, and they, you know, it's, as we know, we're breaking through the matrix. We've broken through it long ago. But there's this big story in the Hollywood Reporter about media people complaining about how exhausting it is to have covered Donald Trump for the last 4 years. These people. They're so self-indulgent and so self-absorbed that they like to go on and parade and talk about how tired they are and how fatiguing it is to have to cover Donald Trump. Anyway, Maggie Haberman over at the New York Times, you know, talks about, you know, do I think that burnout is a real factor? It's a real factor for any White House, you know, and she says, I don't know that I can actually logistically, if I can do this another 4 years. And anyway, so these people are exhausted. And President Trump goes on hardly ever sleeps and is just plowing away, dealing with all of these people, saving the nation, dealing with one crisis after another, of which is this coronavirus business, and seems to be looking younger and younger. And but anyway, the point I make is that it must be exhausting for the media to have to keep drafting all of this fake news stuff all the time. When you have to concoct these sort of complex narratives that they know are false, they know are gotcha narratives, they know that they're just not true, and then they get years of these on their track records. They have to carry their dismal track records around with them everywhere they go. It's got to be fatiguing for them, you know? And now Joe Biden is in a jam on this Tara Reid thing, and the Democrats are trying real, real hard not to look like total Me Too hypocrites, which they are, but Biden has put the word out that, you know, hey, he expects the media, the New York Times, to help cover for him and help exonerate him. And it's like the media is always having to work to excuse the mediocre talents in the Democratic Party and manufacture the deep state narratives that are lies and falsehoods. And that's exhausting for them. That's what exhausts them. I would submit to you the media would not be exhausted if they were operating a good conscience, which is what Donald Trump is doing, and which is why he is not exhausted. I mean, he is saving this country, putting America first for the first time ever, reconnecting the Republican base with the Republican president. And when you're in good conscience, you just tend to not get so darn tuckered out all the time, as the media is. And if the media does get tired, it's because they still have a little flicker of functioning conscience somewhere within them. At any rate, podcast coming up soon. Big thanks to Kelly Michaels. And we're breaking through. The sunlight will be coming out. We're playing some music on that next week. Signing off, Saddle Pals, for Backbone. Until then.
We're all in this together, united as one. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. The news now.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Sam Litzinger. President Trump says his efforts to stop the spread of the coronavirus have saved lives, although he knows many Americans.